Amen. Thanks, Rhiann. Yeah, I've recently been demoted from being the next gen pastor to being the associate pastor. So, yeah, I must have done something wrong to get kicked out of the youth and kids ministry. But I still get to volunteer and be a part of that team, which is amazing. I'm also part of the Limitless Leadership team as well, and just really passionate about everything that Limitless do. In terms of who I am, my name's Andy. I'm married to Laura. My wife and I, Laura, we're going through the adoption process at the moment, and so we'd appreciate your prayers for kind of clarity and God to speak into that. We've got a dog called Archie. He is 90% cute, 10% pain in the backside. And I hope you can tell I'm originally from Liverpool. I grew up in Bootle, which is like the north end of Liverpool. It's one of the rough ends of Liverpool. And I'm actually really passionate about some of what I'm going to say today. I'm passionate about a lot, but some of it I'm specifically passionate about. I kind of grew up in church in Bootle. At the age of 18, went to do a gap year with Youth for Christ. Ended up spending about 4 or 5 years doing prison ministry. Going, you know, it sounds typical for a scouser to spend his time going in and out of prison, doesn't it? But that's what I was doing, kind of leading a theatre company and doing various alpha courses and lots of different stuff. I then moved to leading something called Fort Rocky, which, looking at the room, I reckon some of you might have even been on a Fort Rocky. There it is. And so feeling old a little bit there, helping basically 11 to 14-year-olds have an introduction to Jesus. And then for the last 10 years, I've been working at Life Central Church, formerly Zion Christian Centre. And I started off as the youth pastor, then took on leading Next Gen as a whole ministry, and like I say, I've been demoted to being the associate pastor this time last year. And I've always been passionate about helping unchurched people find an introduction to Jesus. I've always been passionate about helping put the gospel in simple terms that unchurched people can understand. I always found that, even like as a 15-year-old volunteering on the kids team at our church that my mum was running, my mum would always give me the rough kids, because she was always like, Andy, you can just make it make sense to them. And so it's something that's always been something that I've been passionate about, that I've just found that I naturally kind of am geared in this way. And I love Acts 4 verse 13, because some people see it as a bit of an insult to the disciples and the apostles, but I actually see it as a badge of honor. It says, the members of the council were amazed that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. It's on the screen. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. I love that. They could see that they were ordinary men and they were a little bit thick. And then it says, but they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. That's what I want people to see when they look at me, when they experience me in ministry, to be, hey, here's somebody who doesn't come across dead clever, but he's somebody who knows Jesus, and I can get to know Jesus by being close to this person. And so I think right at the start, I want to be clear, the aim for us isn't to be super spiritual people who speak in flowery language in our special spiritual buildings. You know, our aim is to get out there and help people find and follow Jesus. You know, we've got to find a way to present things in a way that helps them to understand. You know, we've got to make it simple for people. I think we've got to stop trying to make ourselves feel more spiritual and more worthwhile by using big spiritual words. But we've got to find a way to help the unchurched be introduced to Jesus. And so for me, Life Central Church is a really perfect place for me and what I'm passionate about. This isn't me saying Life Central Church is better than yours, absolutely not. But, you know, for us, around about 5 or 6 years ago, we made a shift as a church, as a whole church, to what we call being church for the unchurched. And so we started to pull apart and think about everything that we did in ministry, in the life of our church, and say, how might an unchurched person experience this area of church life? And in fact, we've made an even like a small shift in the last 12 months in our language, to not be a church where unchurched people want to be a part of, because once somebody then makes a decision to come to church and be like, follow Jesus, Our church is no longer relevant to them. And so we've changed our language slightly in that we want to be, I've written it down because I get it wrong all the time. We want to be a church where church people want to invite their unchurch friends to. And so for us, that's really important. We think about loads of the stuff that we're going to look at today. And we think about all of this all the time. And we're constantly asking those questions. How might we better equip our church people to invite their unchurch friends? And how might we better engage the unchurch who might want to access any of our stuff that we do? And so I'm not saying by any stretch that I'm an expert. I'm not. There is some fantastic bits of wisdom and experience and some amazing leaders in the room. And Barry Mason is here as well. It's great to have you with us, Barry. And so I'm not here saying this is the perfect way to do it and do this. Like me and Tim were talking earlier, this isn't a science. This isn't maths. This is an art. This is poetry. And so you've got to find what works for you in your context and the way that we do it. And so I would say Holy Spirit ministry and time responding to the Spirit for us has been something that's been a little bit more difficult to do in the last 2 years, particularly when churches were first able to open up again after the first lockdown and it all became very clinical. Siri there was jumping ahead to the speaking in tongues section there, wanting to translate. We'll wait on that translation. It's just, it was really difficult, wasn't it, coming out of the lockdown and things becoming clinical and making sure that there was no, you know, contact and all of that kind of stuff. And it's become really difficult. And so for us in the last few months, we've been really intentional to say, hey, we need to be getting back into that place where we're creating space for the Holy Spirit to move, where we're being responsive to what the Holy Spirit might want to say to us. And so I think the question that we're asking and the kind of frightful statements that we are exploring a little bit as a team is imagine if somebody came to our ministry and came to our church looking for Jesus and all they found was us. That's a terrifying statement, isn't it? To think about that if a young person came to your youth ministry looking for Jesus, looking for meaning in life, and all they found was some PlayStations and pool tables. It's got to be more than that. And I'm personally realizing more and more that I'm not God. I know it's shocking, isn't it? But we're doing some like kind of temperament and personality traits at the moment with our staff team. And I'm a red, okay? And reds basically like to swing into action. And reds are doers and reds crack on with it. And I'm quite a pragmatic person, okay? I've got two emotions, happy and sad, and nothing in between, okay? I'm not a feely person, I'm a doing person. And so if there's a problem, I naturally go, how can I fix it? How can I solve it? If someone's not all right, I'm like, right, bring them to my office, I'll sort them out. Like, I'm very much a doing person. And so for me, Colossians 1, verse 27, that it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, sometimes I'm guilty of thinking that it's Christ and me, but it's not. It's Christ in me. And so for me, it's actually, I want to do everything that I can do so that God can do only what he can do. I love the story of the boy with the five loaves and the two fishes who essentially brings his packed lunch to Jesus and says, I've got this. Can you do anything with it? And he does what he can do. He brings what he's got to the party and Jesus multiplies it and makes it a miracle. And so for me, the way that I approach ministry is that I go, I'm going to do every single thing that I can possibly do to make this good. But I'm going to bring it to Jesus like that little boy with his packed lunch and say, can you do anything with this, Jesus? And Jesus, would you do what only you can do? I can't turn a little boy's packed lunch into feeding 5,000 people. I can't do that, but Jesus, you can. And so Jesus, I can't take these PlayStations and pool tables and this youth ministry and this talk into something that transforms a young person's life, but I know that you can. And so, Jesus, would you take it and would you use it? It's not Christ and me, it's Christ in me. It's the Christ in me that changes people's lives. I'm not a saviour. Jesus is the only saviour. And in fact, Paul writes it much better than me. In 1 Corinthians, he says this: my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You see, it's really important that we understand that personal relationship with God can only be born out of personal encounter with God. We've got to be leading young people, not just to engage with our youth ministries, but leading them into that presence of God, into an encounter with Jesus, into an experience of the Holy Spirit. He says again in 1 Corinthians 4, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. See, it's encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that changes everything. And so I think it's really important that we start where we are, and lots of us will be starting in different starting points. And so I'd love you to talk to the people around you, maybe the people you're with, the people that you came with, or you're with some, there's some strangers around you, get to know some people. But I want you to answer this question in your groups: how receptive are the young people you work with to the Holy Spirit? And you can, do you know what I mean, interpret that question however you want to answer it, but just have a little chat for a couple of minutes in your groups. How receptive are the young people you work with to the Holy Spirit? Go. Okay. Guys, it's really key that we understand that we're all at different start points. Lots of you will be leading different kinds of youth ministry and engaging with lots of different kinds of youth ministry. But do you know... the key thing is before a young person ever steps through the doors of your youth ministry, the Holy Spirit is already at work in them. You know, our youth ministries don't introduce Jesus to a young person. Jesus already knows that young person better than we ever will. And so it's our role to just find out, where is God already at work in the life of this young person? We had a guy do Alpha during the first lockdown. Totally not a Christian, did Alpha. One of the nights after one of the sessions, he woke up in the middle of the night after a dream where Jesus came and met him on a beach and spoke to him. And in the middle of the night, with none of our church team there, he gave his life to Jesus. He'd been put in mine and Laura's Connect group. And this is where I'm like, just the Holy Spirit's really helpful sometimes. So his girlfriend has since done Alpha and also given her life to Jesus. They were both baptized just before Christmas. Amazing. They've been living together for 3 or 4 years, not married. And so me and Laura are like, oh, that's a pastoral conversation we've got to have at some point. And we're thinking, when is the right time? All of this kind of stuff. We get an email off them saying, we just want you to know God's been speaking to us and we've chosen to be celibate. And I'm like, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're walking that through with them and we're figuring that out. That won't be the case in every single situation. So sometimes you will have to step in and pastorally lead. But I'm using that as a point to say the Holy Spirit's at work in people's lives, even when we think he's not, he is. And so we've got to have that. But there are some startling statistics about experiencing spirituality. Youth for Christ, in fact, Laura's role at Youth for Christ was to put this piece of research together in their Z to A of spirituality. It was published a couple of years ago, and they found that 78% of young people said that they have never had a spiritual experience. In spite of this, 62% of young people have had contact with a church. Just ponder on that for a moment. That's a whole load of young people saying that they've had contact and experienced a church, but have never experienced spirituality. So we have a generation who no longer kind of equate spirituality with the church. They don't see the church as a source of spirituality, but they take issue with what they would say organized religion. But it doesn't mean that this generation that we're trying to lead and reach aren't spiritual. They would say things like, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. In fact, Youth for Christ found that when it comes to spiritual experience, most young people would identify their spiritual interactions with experiencing some kind of paranormal activity rather than an interaction with a loving God. That's scary, isn't it? Of the 1,001 young people that they surveyed, 51% said they believe in a supernatural being or power. And of those who do, more believe in ghosts, 65% of them, than those that believe in God, which was 63% of them. A Barna Group study of 4,000 teenagers found that 73% of young people have engaged in at least one type of psychic or witch-related activity. And there's lots of stuff on things like TikTok that are these kind of looking into spirituality and trying to experience something that's bigger than this world. And in fact, James Emery White, he says this. He says, we live in a world that is more open than ever to spiritual things, not defined by religion, mind you, but spirituality, and specifically the supernatural. A keenly felt emptiness resulting from a secularized, materialistic world has led to a hunger for something more. Guys, I think this is an incredible opportunity. We've got a generation and a world that is going, there's got to be something more than living 9 to 5. There's got to be something more than getting likes on my social media. They're craving this something deeper. And we as a human race, we as a human race are an inherently spiritual people. And so we believe, don't we, in a miracle-working God. We believe God rose from the dead. We believe in the spiritual realm. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe in a God who speaks. We believe in the ultimate spiritual desire of the Holy Spirit, who desires to be intimately involved with each and every one of our lives, including the young people that you meet. And so I don't think we should be shy about the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we should be shy of the supernatural power that God places within us. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us. And I don't think we need to be shy about it. I think when young people come into our youth ministries, they should experience more than pool, PlayStation, and a tuck shop. They should be experiencing the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And so, back in your groups, do these stats surprise you? What stands out to you? Just have a little discussion there. What surprises you? What stands out? Go. Okay. And so, I think the big point is that young people aren't closed off to spirituality. They're open to it. They're open. The majority are open to that there's something bigger than just the physical to be experienced. The million-dollar question is, how do we do it? How do we lead young people in it? And I've had some great stories and I've had some horror stories. When I worked in prison, we used to go in and do detached, and it's the time where if a fight was going to kick off, it's going to kick off in what they would call association time. And so we would go down on the wings, we would have lanyards on so that I wouldn't get confused for being an inmate. We would just go and chat to the lads, and it was about 5 minutes to go before the end of association time. And I'm sat chatting to these two lads, and they go, so they were Manx. They were like, so why do you believe in God or not? That's where the Manx accent's going to stop, because it's just going to be a disaster otherwise. And I was like, quickly trying to answer, and like within the 6 months before that, like someone had prayed for my back and it got better and said, well, I've seen God move and explained what had happened with me back. And he was like, so if you pray for my back, it'll get better. And I was like, well, it's not necessarily depends on me, but it's about God, and tried to like quickly theologically explain it to this young offender. And he was like, because I've got a bad back, I can't sleep. And explained it to him, and I said, we've got 5 minutes, I'll pray for you. And I said, can I put my hand on your back? And he was like, yeah, sound. And so I put my hand on his back, literally, like, I was like, do I close my eyes? On the middle of a prison wing, do I close my eyes? And then I looked up, and this lad and his mate were, like, staring at me, like I was about to pull some David Blaine stuff out. And I just went to them, boys, it doesn't work unless you close your eyes. And And they both just went, okay, and closed their eyes. And so I'm there praying for this lad. As I'm praying for him, the bell goes for the end of association time. So I had to quickly wrap it up and say, amen. And I was like, safe, safe, see you later, see you next week. And like, I kind of forgot about it. The next week I went on the wing, this lad come bouncing up to me. And I was like ready to fight. And he was like, boss, you won't believe it. I've slept all week. My back's been healed. It's loads better. I was like, I had no faith at all, but the Holy Spirit moved. I prayed a rubbish prayer. I barely shut my eyes, and God moved. We've had young people. Pre-COVID, we were running like an open access youth club, and we really wanted to get some good like spiritual content in there. And so we opened a prayer room, and we've had lots and lots of different things go on in that prayer room. And one time, this group of girls came in, and it was always a little bit chaotic, but we tried to just control the environment a little bit. And these girls were chatting to us about their day and their week, and I just felt God say, there's something wrong with their left knee. And I was like, okay, that's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to look like a stupid youth leader. There's something wrong with your knee. And in the end, I just said, Ruby, have you got bad knees? I didn't have the confidence to say left knee. And she went, yeah, my left knee's really sore. And I was like, I think God might want to pray for you. And we got to pray for her. God healed her knee. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. The Holy Spirit wants to do this stuff. And so the key is, where I would say, and we said this before, start where you are. If all you do is lead a football ministry, don't try and lead a ministry time with some, you know, Holy Spirit pads in the background at half time while everyone's chewing oranges, do you know what I mean? It's not going to work. Start where you are. Our youth club that we run that was open access, like if we tried to do a 15-minute talk and then a ministry time afterwards like we do at Limitless Festival, like honestly, I would get stabbed. Like it would just not work. And so that's why we opened the prayer room. You know, there are certain environments that we would do ministry time and stuff. You've got to start where you're at. The aim isn't to do a Limitless style ministry time at the end of every youth session. That's not the aim. The aim is introducing young people to the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And so you've got to find the environments to do it. And Limitless have got some great guidelines that I'm going to give you an opportunity to see in a minute for your next discussion moment. But there's three simple points when you're leading young people into the presence of the Holy Spirit, when you're praying for a young person, when you're leading ministry for young people who are unchurched. It's really simple. The first thing is wait. We believe God moves in stillness and in quiet. Now, the key is here, think about your environment. You know, it might be that you need to explain it. You know, in our prayer room, if I said to a young person, you know, Dave, can I just pray for you? Yeah, that's great. How weird is that for a young person who's already plucked up the courage to say, yeah, I'll let you pray for me, and then you just stand there and say nothing? That's weird. So what I would say is, Dave, I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for a couple of moments, and then I'm just going to stop praying, and I'm going to just wait and see if God wants to say anything. Okay, so when that moment gets, I've not fallen asleep. I've not, do you know what I mean? I've not left you on your own in the room. I'm just waiting on God, and I would just give a couple of moments. Sometimes if I'm trying to be, I have a kind of script sometimes that I use that it's like an internal script that I don't have to really think about that much. But as I'm praying it and as I'm saying it, I'm listening to God because I kind of just got confidence in what I'm saying because I know it so well. And so I say, you know, God, I really pray for Dave here. God, I pray that you would fill him with your love right now. God, from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, would you just show him how much you love him? And as I'm saying that, I'm going, God, please say something to me here. And I'm waiting on God. The second thing is listen. What does God want to do? What does God want to say? And you can imply that in any environment. So at the end of a talk in church, I would say, we're just going to wait and we're just going to see what God wants to say. And in that moment, I'm saying, God, is there anything? Please, God. And I'm looking around the room. I'm trying to listen to what God wants to do. And then the third and final thing is obey, to do what God says to do. And so sometimes, you know, it's not pre-prescribed actions, But sometimes you might sense, like when you're writing a talk for church and unchurch young people, you might get a sense of, hey, I'm talking about healing, so we may as well pray about healing at the end of it. Sometimes it's like that. And sometimes I've written a talk and gone, I think God might want to do this at the end, but I'm going to still be open. And so I get to that end point and I wait, I listen, and I go, yeah, God, I do think you want to do that. Or no, God wants to do something different. And I respond to that. And so sometimes it might be a confirmation of what you already thought, or it might be changing it. And hey, if you get it wrong, nobody dies. That's the key thing here. You know, if I said to Ruby, hey, is there something wrong with her knees? And she went, no. I go, oh, okay, got it wrong. Never mind. I once at New Wine, I was on team, and I've never been that good with words of knowledge. I would say God's gifted me in prophecy, but not necessarily words of knowledge. And I was trying it out and testing it out, and I was on team, and I just felt like God say, this guy's, like, mum is really ill. And so I just went up to this lad, excuse me, mate, is something wrong with your mum? And he went, no, why? And I went, never mind, and just ran. I just bailed, but no one died. I hope not, anyway. And so if you get it wrong, it's fine. Do you know what I mean? Nobody dies. You just say, hey, I thought I heard God, but obviously I was wrong, and that's okay. And so on the screen's QR code. You can use your smart device to scan. On that QR code is a lovely selfie of me. No, is the PDF of Limitless's ministry guidelines. Please feel free to take those and apply them to your ministry set and where you do ministry. You will see those 3 points in there worded slightly differently. And then some of what I'm going to say is taken from there as well. But in your discussion groups, I would love you to discuss this. What are some of the top tips you would give to leading encounter with the Holy Spirit? I went HS there because Holy Spirit wouldn't fit on, like, graphically. So I've just shortened it to HS there. Please don't be offended. So in your groups, discuss what are some of the top tips. I would love to hear your top tips before I give you my top tips, because if they're better, then I'll use yours. Brilliant. You have got a few minutes to do that. Go. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you my top tips. I've just realised this is in the wrong order on my slides. So I'm just going to move it there. And there we go. Great, top tips. Number one, the first thing is language. Think about the language that you are using, not like French, Spanish, German, but more like the words that you are using to describe things. You know, young people don't understand what it means to be soaked in the blood of the Lamb. Or they know what it means, they just don't know what it spiritually means. Do you know what I mean? They need to understand what you're talking about. You know, come and be bathed in the waters of the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. We need to think about the language that we're using. So not using what I would call Christianese, thinking about those kind of words, those big spiritual words. Think about the person that is the most unchurched person that you know. Would they understand what you're saying when you explain stuff on stage? That's really, really important. Laura had a moment when she was in our prayer room in our youth club, and she got to chat with a young person and kind of said, well, can we pray for you? And then Laura said, would you feel comfortable praying? And the young girl was like, yeah, all right. So this girl prayed this really simple prayer, got to the end of it and went, send. Which is amazing. It's so heartwarming. She doesn't know what amen means. She knows what send means. And for us, like, amen is kind of like send, isn't it? It's so good. But it helps you understand that, like, our young people don't grow up in this world that a lot of us do. And so helping them to understand that language. And the way that we speak helps build confidence in our church young people that they can bring their own church mates to it. The way that you lead a ministry time, your church young people are looking at it going, if I bring my mate, Johnny, who's been asking me questions about God, if I bring him here, is it going to be weird? Is he going to understand it? That's what they're thinking when they're stood in those moments. And so the language that you use, even if you know you've got a room full of church young people who've, you know, been bathed in the Spirit many times at the Limitless Festival, actually the way that you communicate and the language that you use says something to your young people that they can bring their mates if you use the right language. And there was this great moment where I was going to pray for this lad in our prayer room. And I went, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? Because do you know, I don't know why we do that. And I suddenly went, I've got no explanation for this, other than it makes me feel like I'm connected to you. Like, I had no, we know it's biblical. Like, we know it's, you know, the disciples gathered round each other and put, like, I know it is. But in that moment, I was like, because God's power flows through my arm. And so what it caused is us to have like a bit of a ruthless, like, kind of, what's the word? A ruthless examination of the language that we use. Of saying, hey, the reason why I'm asking to put my hand on your shoulder is dot, 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 and thinking about those things. And so ruthlessly examine the language that you use. Listen back, if you can, to the talks that you might give, or listen to each other as you lead those moments, as you go to pray for a young person. Listen and have an examination of the language that you use. The second one, which Sean said brilliantly, was explain. Explain what you can. If you're familiar with what the Holy Spirit might be doing, explain it. Like Sean said, if somebody is having a little lie down, explain what that might mean. Explain, you know, when people are laughing or crying. What you've got to be really careful of here is that you don't come into suggestion. I took a group of young people to Soul Survivor, and we prayed for the Holy Spirit before, and I'd had lots of times like that, but none of them had ever fallen over. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you know, it was like Premier League footballers everywhere. And this one girl, it was great, this one girl was being prayed for. She literally opened her eyes, went, and fell over. And I was like, get up. No, I wasn't, of course I wasn't. But we've got to be careful not to be suggestive in that moment of, you know, when we pray for you, some people might laugh. Do you know, you don't want it to be like that. But if it happens, explain it to people and say, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, Mike Pilavachi uses the this illustration, and I just think it's brilliant, about when you're on a plane and there's turbulence. And I actually have always done this anyway, is looking at the airline staff. If the airline staff are carrying on, handing out cups of tea and a chilling, then I know it's nothing to worry about. But if they're putting life jackets on, do you know what I mean, and running around, I know it's time to panic. And so if the airline staff can explain to me what's going on, I'm all right. And it's the same in this moment. People who are unfamiliar in these environments will look to the person who's on stage and go, are they panicking? Go, is there someone crying and I don't know why? Like, that's going to make them panic. But explaining to them and talking it through. And again, Mike Pilavachi said he felt God say to him, I'll look after the people in the front, the people who are being ministered to. You look after the people at the back. And to let God take care of the people that he's meeting with. And your responsibility is to take care of the people who aren't engaging in that way. The third thing is keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open so that you can watch. For me, whenever I'm leading a ministry time on stage, or even when I'm praying for young people one-on-one, I keep my eyes open because I think God wants to use the physical to bring out the spiritual. And so sometimes I will see something in a way that a young person is standing or something that they're wearing, and God will begin to develop a prophetic word out of that. And so I want to be alert to what God might be saying in those moments. But also, I want to see the room. Do you know what I mean? If I'm praying and leading a ministry time and I've got my eyes closed, I can't see the 60% of the room have left and 30% are lying on the floor in the spirit. Like, we need to be able to lead that. And so whether you're on stage or whether you're one-on-one with a young person, keep your eyes open and tell them that. Tell them that, hey, I'm going to keep my eyes open because I want to see what God's doing. And like Barry said, some people might not show any signs of God moving. Some people might just show small signs of moving. We want to see what God's doing if we're praying for it. The next one is acknowledge. Acknowledge the odd. People can be weird. Especially healing people. No, I'm joking. But, you know, people can be weird in this stuff. And, you know, some of this will be really strange, particularly for unchurched young people. We need to acknowledge it. I'm going to go back to my slide that was slightly out of order. Andy Stanley said this: say what you suspect unbelievers are thinking. When you do, it gives credibility and it gives them space. It says that you are a rational being like they are, that you didn't check your brain at the door and you don't expect them to either. It's really good. Acknowledge the weird and the strange. Mike Pilavachi said this in one of our podcasts. He said, God can be as weird as he wants. He's allowed to. He's God. But we won't be. We won't be weird. Say it after me. We won't be weird. And maybe that should be a strap line somewhere. We will explain as much as we can explain. We will not get religious. We will try and be as natural as we can be. But we want to make space, Lord Jesus, for you to move among your people in the power of the Spirit. We have to demystify to make this ministry accessible. And so talk it through. Talk it through as you're saying stuff, saying this is weird. You know, if somebody starts barking a tongue from the back of the room, go, so that was a bit weird, wasn't it? Let me tell you what was going on there. And like we said, explain earlier, acknowledging it rather than just going, this is normal. And there's some young person having a breakdown. The amount of times we, pre-Limitless Festival, we used to take our young people to Soul Survivor. And I used to sit with our young people one-on-one who'd never been to that kind of environment before and just coach them through it. And then go, and I'd be like, it's okay. I know it's weird, but this is what's going on. And I would just coach them through it. And so if you're bringing unchurched young people to Limitless Festival, it might be an idea that in that first ministry time or those first couple of ministry times, you make yourself available, or one of your team makes themselves available and says, I'm just going to be there to coach these guys through it. Because when you can do that and lead them through it, like an a member of airline staff, you can lead them through it and help them to understand it a bit more. I'm all out of order on my slides now, so you're going to have to forgive me here. The next one is stay calm, even if you don't know what is going on. Okay, so if you know, even when, like, Laura had at Limitless Festival a couple of years ago, a girl start, like, manifesting all sorts of weirdness, and it was clear that there was something a little bit deeper than just let's pray for a little bit going on. Like, the key in that moment is to not go, oh my goodness, like, to not panic, but to just say, hey, I'm just going to get somebody else to come and just give us a hand a little bit of a moment. Or maybe you're on stage and something starts kicking off. You might want to say, hey, I'm going to ask if some of our more experienced, or, you know, say somebody here was kicking off spiritually, I would say, hey, Tim, would you be able to just come and pray with this person? Because I think there's something more going on. And being able to just stay calm and communicate to your young people, hey, this God's at work here, and so I'm not scared. Because I know God's a good God. And what we're experiencing right now is goodness. It might not sound like it. It might sound a little bit strange. It might sound a little bit freaky. But I'm calm because I know God is a good God. I know God is here and God's moving. And so we've got to stay calm in that. And we've got to reassure, particularly those who don't feel anything. Like I said earlier, I'm not a feely person. I often don't feel a lot in ministry times, but I know that God speaks to me. I've never fallen over and been slain in the Spirit. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit's never met with me? Of course it doesn't. And so there will be young people who come into these ministry environments and they see their mates, you know, shaking and clucking like a chicken, and they're going, why doesn't God love me? Why aren't I barking like a dog in the Holy Spirit? Like, we've got to reassure those young people that aren't having, like, physical expressions of an experience of the Holy Spirit. And I have to confess, I've looked at young people and thought, nothing's going on. And actually, something really deep has been going on, more than I could ever understand. And I've come away from Limitless Festival at times thinking, I never once saw them put their hand up in worship. And then months later, I've been at their baptism and they've said Limitless Festival was the most life-changing, like, moment. And you're just like, I've got no clue. We cannot measure where the Holy Spirit is at work by what people do. Because some people will make it up, and we've got to be okay with that. Some people will fake it, and we've got to be okay with that. Some people, nothing will happen externally, but there'll be so much going on internally. And we need to reassure our young people of that. With those insecurities and comparison of, oh, they fell over and I didn't, they spoke in tongues and I didn't, all of that kind of stuff, reassure. And this is particularly important when it comes to praying for healing. Of, oh, so that person got healed, but God doesn't love me enough to heal me. We've got to be speaking into that in the moment. Don't wait for it to come up later. Speak to it in the moment. Speak to it when you're praying one-on-one and when you're praying for healing and saying, hey, I'm praying for you right now, but if God doesn't heal you, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. And there's some things in this that even I don't understand. But hey, we're going to keep praying because we believe that God can and that God does heal. But we also believe that God's ways are higher than highways, and I don't understand some stuff sometimes. But we're going to pray. And we've got to keep reassuring with it. The last two are a little bit more practical. Plan for God to move. Plan space in your ministry. Leave space at the end. If you're planning an event and a worship service, put some time at the end or at some point to say, we're just going to leave this open to what God wants to do. And hey, God might be done and you might have, you know, 15 minutes extra to eat custard creams. Brilliant. Or there might be space there. Plan practically. Okay, well, when we do have that moment, where are people going to be prayed for? Where are people going? Where's our prayer ministry team? Who's assisting with it? Plan all of that. It doesn't mean that we plan what the Holy Spirit will do, but we plan in the event that if the Holy Spirit wants to move, we're ready. And so it's about preparing ourselves. What's the safeguarding issues? You know, I might be doing a session about something about, you know, identity, but all of a sudden in the prayer ministry time, I feel like God say he wants to pray for healing. Well, how are we going to pray for healing? Where are we going to go? All of that kind of stuff. Plan it out. Be prepared for it. Have you got new Christian packs ready? All of that kind of stuff. And then the last one, debrief. As Tim said earlier, Andy Stanley says, experience doesn't make you better. Evaluated experience makes you better. And so get someone to give you feedback. Have a look at what you did and how you did it. Get somebody, maybe ask your lead pastor, hey, could you pop down to the youth event that we're doing? I'd love some feedback on how to lead ministry times. Maybe when you pray for people, just afterwards, hey, is there anything that we missed there? Is there anything that we dealt with insensitively? Is there any language that I used in that moment that I shouldn't use again? Those kind of things, getting that evaluation is really, really super helpful. And so I just want to wrap up by saying, be brave. Be brave in the power that is at work within you, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It doesn't have to be on a stage, on a platform with a keyboard player playing a pad behind you and a smoke machine and lovely lights. It can be in a bus stop when you're doing detached work. It can be in the middle of a prison wing. It can be on a football pitch after the game. It can be wherever. But be open to the work of the Holy Spirit, because you are not a saviour. You're a decent youth worker. You're a decent youth pastor who's got the work of the Holy Spirit flowing through them. And so be open to what the Holy Spirit might want to say. I would love, we've got 5 minutes. Is that right, Tim? We've got 5 minutes. Are there any questions, any comments, any things that, hey, I might not have covered everything. So if you feel like, hey, there's something that we didn't cover here and that you'd like to add to, please do. Like I said, no one's an expert yet. Good. So the question was, just correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm for the tape. How old am I? For the recording. Well, COVID-wise, it's all transmission, isn't it? Oh, there we go. We're going to swap mics and go around, so Rianne's coming to you, so I don't have to repeat for the tape.
My question was, for young, do you have any tips or anything to add for young people praying and leading other young people into encounters with the Holy Spirit?
I would say lead them through some of this. I think Mike Pilavachi does this brilliantly. I think there's times when it's appropriate for young people, and then there's times where the young people need to step back, and it's leaders only. I think you need to read that as their leader. But I think in asking young people to pray, we had a bunch of young people respond. I would say, hey, if you're comfortable, if you call yourself a Christian and you're confident to come, why don't you come and stick a hand on their shoulder? And you're not going to say loads of words. You're just going to ask God to move. And you're going to wait. And I would lead that through step by step with them. I do try as much as I can to lead our young people in praying for their friends at school and how they would do that. And some of that is doing like a practical session like this, of saying, hey, if you're ever going to pray for your mates, these are some things that you can do. But I would say, I wouldn't be scared to get young people. We need to, hey, we're just older. Do you know what I mean? We're not better. Our prayers aren't better than young people's prayers. And so we need to be encouraging our young people to engage with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've had non-Christians pray for other non-Christians and seen them get healed. And it's like, how do you marry that one up? And you're like, what? But God's bigger than all that. And so, yeah. Does that help? Vanessa.
So we had a situation with one of our people who was going through like a really hard time, and they were basically carved out loads of time to spend time with God, and they were like really intentional. So like they're fasting, doing all the quiet stuff, doing all the stuff that they thought was right, and they were like really begging God for some sort of sign, like not necessarily like a big sign, but just, I just want to know that you're with me, like if it's a feeling, like whatever it is. And at no point during those months did it get that sort of revelation from God. And it was really hard to pastor them through that, because I am definitely a feely person. So I feel like I always kind of feel God when I really need to. So as someone who's described himself as, you're not really that type of person, what sort of encouragement would you have liked if you were in that situation from someone?
That's a really good question. So, so difficult. I think, I don't know whether this is helpful, but I think sometimes young people over-expect what a spiritual experience is. And so my issue with some of the stats that I showed earlier with the, 62% of young people have had contact with the church, but 78% say that they've never had a spiritual experience. Well, I've sat in groups with my young people and they've said, I've never felt God speak to me. And I've gone, well, you wrote notes in that talk and that really encouraged you. Yeah. Well, was that not God speaking to you? And so I think like often young people and we like think, if I'm going to experience God, it's got to be like the National Lottery, again, showing my age, the National Lottery finger coming out the sky. Do you know what I mean? The like,
Andy.
Like, we sometimes overthink that. And actually, like, one of the best pieces of advice when I was on my gap year trying to figure out what to do next, the drummer from Y Friday, who's now in Sean's church, said to me, sometimes we over-spiritualize these things, Andy. What's your gut saying? And God speaks through your gut. And he went, if I was going to toss a coin and throw it in the air, and it was on either choice, which one would you want it to be? And I went, this one. And he went, do it then. And if God doesn't want you to do it, he'll stop you. And he'll intervene. And so often I feel that. Like we had a discussion in our Connect group about do we overcomplicate following Jesus, or is it really simple? Everyone else was like, oh, it's really complicated. I was like, no, it's just simple. Just figure out what Jesus wants you to do and do it. And Laura's like, come on, Andy, be helpful. I was like, no, it's just work out how to follow Jesus in that scenario and just do it. It's simple. I'm quite simplistic and not very emotionally available. but other than that, I'm a joy to be around. Great. It's 2:15, so let me pray. And then let's go have some coffee. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are at work in the lives of our young people. You're at work in the lives of the church, Christian young people who are at school or on the way home from school trying to follow you right now. But God, you're also at work in the lives of the young people that aren't yet following you. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would help us to take what we've talked about and apply it to our context. God, I pray that we wouldn't just be youth ministries and youth clubs that have got great facilities and great people, but nothing deeper than that. God, we want young people to turn up for pool and PlayStations, but to stay because they encountered you. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, give us a spirit of boldness and courage to step out into where your Spirit is leading us. Jesus, I pray that you would just anoint us. God, I pray for a fresh sense of your anointing and confidence in your power. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us where we need to step back and let you be God, and where we need to step in to those situations. And Jesus, I pray that we might see more people find and follow you as a result of the things that we've learned in the last hour. Pray in your mighty name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys.